Dear listener, welcome to Feminine. It has been a whirlwind of a spring, and we are embarking on summer. The heat of summer, truly a taxing time for those of us who reside in the desert. I'm anticipating probably it getting up to about 120 this year. Every year I sometimes come down, well, find myself in this position where I worry about global warming, and I wonder, what will it take for people to take Mother Earth seriously? But with the heat of summer also comes a recognition that we can endure. So I want to take this opportunity to let you know that Feminine Magazine is working on our summer edition, where we will be talking about isms. Those isms include hysteria and gaslighting, colorism, racism, religion, and what it feels like to worship masculine deities. Feminine is a project that you can support at paypal.me/feminine magazine. Be on the listen out for updates and other ways that you can support Feminine, as well as opportunities to provide submissions to our incredible work. This episode, Rachel and I talk about how does a woman find God in this culture. Enjoy. How are you finding God in this culture?
You know, that is such a good question, because I've been thinking about the stuff that we had talked about last podcast a lot lately, and just about, you know, what does that mean? Does that mean I just kind of throw away the whole idea of it? Because once you, you kind of learn like how problematic it is and everything. I mean, I know for me lately, I've been connecting with my, like, my friends and finding kind of like a higher meaning and just like that connection with people and just like kind of going with that. I also, like, recently I was like, oh, I feel despair. I feel anger so much. And I kind of, I looked into, now when we were in Pennsylvania, did you look into the Quakers? The Quakers are huge here Philly.
Oh yeah. Huge. Big time. Okay. I even went to a service of silence.
Okay. That's what I want to do. And tell me more about that, because of everything I learn, the Quakers seem to be relatively more progressive, and especially in this area. I don't know if there's like different, you know, factions that are being differently, but around here, I know even their school system, like they tend to have like more progressive teachers and everything. And I visited one of their schools once, and they were just, they kids kind of like, they treated the kids like they were like college age. Yeah. They treated like adults. The kids were so well spoken. It was amazing. So so I've looked into this and that, how their service is all about just sitting in silence. Now is that what you experienced? Like, or because it says if it moves you, right? If you want to.
Say that again, you broke up a little bit.
Oh, sorry.
No, don't apologize.
Thank you. Yeah, I need to do that less, right? Sometimes my husband makes fun of me. But yeah, so I read that if it moves you, you can speak out. Yes. Like so that is okay? Like, do you just like is it like speaking in tongues almost?
No. Well, I don't want to say, so maybe it's a multifaceted answer. Okay. Yes, I've been to Quaker services when I was identifying with a lot more Christian doctrines and beliefs, I was associated with the Anabaptist traditions. And I still identify as an Anabaptist, to be honest. I don't like calling myself a Christian because I think that that is a very disrespectful term. But I, at this point in my life, I'm an Anabaptist, I'm a Buddhist, I'm a bruja, I'm all of these different things. But a big driving force of me coming to a place of peace was going to services like the Quakers. And it's really,
really neat.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You just sit there. And if someone really does feel inclined, like if they have a holy moment, you stand up and you speak your peace and then you sit down.
Interesting. Interesting. So anyone can do that and they can say whatever they want?
Absolutely. Absolutely you can. The one Quaker service that I went to was at the oldest Quaker church in all of Philadelphia.
Was it that big place in Old City?
No, it is in Germantown. The first Quaker church in America. It was built in like 1504 or something like that.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Okay.
Yeah, so like the energy of that place, the history, the people who've gone before, the attempts to know and journey with God is very profound in and of itself, especially for, you know, a bruja or an empath or a highly sensitive person. You know, for us, those are really intense moments.
Right.
So I went with my partner, John. We went to church and I just wept. The silence was so deafening. Like,
I honestly, I kind of pictured myself doing the same thing. Yes. So you just like bust it?
Yes. Like, I never. Yeah. It was really a profound moment in my understanding of spirituality. You know, like you just can be quiet and God is still there.
I love it. I love the idea of like no hierarchy, because I think that's what is really bugging me when I think about the Pope and everything and how people are like, this is the cool Pope. But I'm like, okay, well, why is he not cool and saying, hey, chill on the hating on women and like reproductive rights? Because like that's a lot of suffering that is going on. And so like. So when I think about the hierarchy and like just like, and like I even was talking to my one friend, I walked by and there was like a really fancy car by this like one church and it said like, I don't know, chaplain or something. It was like, it was like the reverend. It was like a Porsche or something crazy. And she was like, yeah, some churches are like that where they want the guy in charge to have a nice car because they want everyone to know their church is going well, doing well. And I'm like, that seems so against what it should be all about. And that's why I'm like, well, if I had to choose, like you said, like kind of like a structured, like religious thing to go to right now, it would be, I think, the Quakers, just because they are kind of against this hierarchy. They're more progressive and they're all about modesty, which I could see that being annoying sometimes because you want to wear your makeup and do your thing. But I can also, I respect modesty in terms of like, not, you know, driving a Porsche, I think. So yeah, but in terms of like just day to day, I think I'm getting more into like what women can do in like the things that you're sharing and like kind of more of like the horoscopes and finding out about how you can kind of channel into this energy that everyone's kind of putting forward and kind of just finding alternative ways that maybe like I would have laughed at like a decade ago. And now I'm being actually like way more like just good vibes from that than anything else. Than if I were to, you know, like pick up a Bible. So I think that's where I'm right now. I don't know where you are right now. You kind of are like completely, you have broken away from the church completely at this point.
Okay, tell me what you mean by that question. Like, what does that look like to you?
Like, would you ever go to a church, or do you pick up the Bible for, to actually find meaning in your life, or do you kind of just always kind of read about it to kind of decode and be like, oh, well, this means this.
That's actually a really great question. So I'm gonna have to be totally honest with you. Are you ready?
Yes, please. God, I love it.
The ache in my soul over Christianity and how they have treated people, even like me. And I'm like, I'm not really that controversial. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not, I have only had sex with one person. I waited to marriage to have sex with him. I have never got drunk until I was like 27. I never did any drugs. I smoked pot for the first time when I was like 29. You know, like, I have never, I really like abided by these ideas of spirituality. They ruled my life. And I still was really treated very poorly. So, like, how can someone like me even justify going to church when, like, I have friends who are gay? Like, I can't do that to them. You know what I
Okay.
mean?
Would you, is it able, are you even able to find like a real hippy dippy, like progressive church? And would you like be into going to that? Or are you just kind of like, what's the point? Because it all stands for something that is so like against everything you're for.
I've tried. I have tried to go to the hippiest, most progressive churches ever, and what I continue to find is that church really attracts controlling people.
Interesting. It's all about control, like finding control over their lives and wanting to do that to other people.
Yeah, it really attracts people who are deeply afraid of change, people who are deeply afraid of being vulnerable, people who are deeply afraid that they could be wrong, that they may have an inconsistency or a hypocrisy in their life. Those things, in and of themselves, really turn me off to church. But I would really be lying if I didn't say that my spiritual practices revolve a lot around prayer, Christian taught types of prayer. Around my understanding of the Bible, I'm constantly referencing the stories of Jesus and really powerful things that resonated with me in my spirituality. But when it comes to going to church, girl,
Yeah,
I
I'll
refuse
pass.
at this point.
And you've had many, many years of it, so I feel like you would know by
Yeah.
now.
I tried. I tried so hard. I tried. I really did.
Well, I love this movement that you got going on that you're helping to spread, because honestly, I feel like it is putting myself in touch with because I grew up going to church every week. I was Lutheran, but we weren't like real strict or anything. But I do like getting back in touch with certain points and just kind of learning more about that. And I remember like I told my mom about the last podcast, and she was like, "Wait, what?" She was like, "You were talking about the Bible?" And I was like,
Yeah,
"Yeah,
we did it like a
what?"
Bible study.
And I was like, "Yeah, I like the way like you approach it. I'm like, this is cool. Like, I like how you are bringing up, through the feminist lens, through all this, gay rights and all these other things. I like that." You can still take from, there's still those teachings that will probably never leave you, right? Like, are
No.
they ingrained in you at this point? Certain
Oh, yeah.
teachings, you're always going to find that coming out of you, like, oh yeah, this and this and this.
Like, what do you mean? Well, give me an example.
So, like, when you said, like, you will sometimes think about, like, a Jesus story coming up. Like, do you feel like you will be like 80 and you will be like, oh yeah, well, that's like Jesus did when he did this. Like, you feel like that will be with you forever?
I do. I do. And I think there are a couple things to clarify with that. There are a lot of things that I've been taught about Jesus that didn't stay with me. In fact, those teachings, more than the ones that have stayed with me, were taught to me consistently in an ongoing basis, and they still have never resonated.
Like the ones that are like kind of like a big bummers and not so loving. Okay.
I mean, that for me, you know what, like when I realized that there was a divine being, that there was created life, I was 11. And it was so miraculous for me in that moment when I really came to an understanding that I was loved deeply, so deeply that I was created as a human being just to experience the beauty of life. It changed me. So I can't go back on that experience because it's a really deep part of my soul, and I continue to feel that love every day. It's so powerful, this incredible connection to divine. However, that connection is really not experienced when I attend church or when I read and or get in conversation with other people about the Bible in a hateful, controlling, manipulative way.
Right. I like that you bring up this theme of like controlling. Like I never thought about it that way, but it's like so right. Shouldn't really be about that. And I also wonder, okay, so I know I like sent you something about like the goddess. Do you ever like think of this energy as more like the goddess, or do you not think of it as male or female or anything like that?
So it that's such a great question. For me, a big part of my healing has been finding comfort in the energy of the goddess.
I love it.
I've really been mothered by God the Mother, by goddess of created earth, of all breath, of holder of space, of emotion, of energetic connection and human interaction, of mystery, of sex, of love, of delicious things. All of those little moments in time have been so nurturing to me that it has even allowed me to make room for God as the Father, which before I was like, get the fuck out of here. I was pissed.
I want to see if I'm understanding this. Is it kind of like the goddess is like the main boss lady, and then below her is like God, our father, and then below him Jesus? Or is it not like that? Is the am I too like indoctrinated to like understand even what you're talking about?
I think that we as a culture, especially a hyper-masculine culture, have created an idea of hierarchy, and that we want to see and want to know, well, who has the most power? But the reality is, God, in and of themselves, is both powers.
So it's kind of like God's plural.
Or it could be like God as like an entity, or like the energy. If you want to think about it in scientific terms, which is also really helpful, you can think about how the left brain is linear. The left brain is the part of us that's strategic and systematic and trying to figure out how does 1 + 1 equal two. That would be kind of God the Father. Then the right brain, the part of us that is abstract, that has emotional capacity, that creates space, that values beauty and art, and recognizes the need for interaction and mystery, that would be goddess, the mother. And so in order for us to be a functioning human being, we need both, right?
Right.
So that's kind of that place for me that we have so much training in linear thinking, so much training in like a data-driven hypermasculine society. We're so left brain. So when we create space for the feminine, this goddess, it's like, what the hell? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, so much of it is not held in high regard. I mean, look at what gets paid more, you know? Exactly. All of the jobs that favor left brain, that's the money maker, and everything else, you know, like, whatever, like, I mean, a lot of female labor is not even paid.
I know, which is crazy, because I think about how do we view nurses, right? They're just kind of like, as a culture, it's like, oh, she's just the nurse.
Right.
And it's assumed that the nurse is a woman, and she barely gets paid, but she's working 12-hour shifts. She's being greeted with crisis, managing crisis, de-escalating situations, relieving stress and agony, being the holder of space for trauma for 12 hours.
Yeah.
And she's paid like $45,000 a year. That's crazy.
And that is nuts. Yes. Yeah.
Or like a midwife, you have to put your hands in a vagina. You have to help a woman push out a human being from her vagina. You have to stay awake for days. And if you're lucky, you can make like, you know, $70,000 a year, and that's working nonstop.
Wow. Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. I like learning about the goddess. I'm gonna try to get more in touch with the goddess, because I feel like I that will help me to feel more powerful, especially in time where we are in some major trouble. So I need that. I need that to feel a little hopeful, a little powerful. I need that.
Well, a great book, which we were talking about, is by Leonard Schlain, The Alphabet and the Goddess, or it might be The Alphabet versus the Goddess. It's one of my, for me, I consider it a textbook in female spirituality, because it really shifted things for me and helped me have scientific proof that I was not crazy.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I gotta read this. I wonder if the library even has it. Like, is this one of these, like, books that is, like, not mainstream and, like, you can't find it?
You could get it on Amazon.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, you could get it on Amazon. I think you can purchase it from his website at one point, but he passed away within, like, the past 10 years, so I don't know. But it's a phenomenal book, and... yes, if every human being took the time to research and make peace with the goddess, I truly believe the world could heal.
I'm with you. I am with you. And wow, it is a male author.
Yeah. He was a surgeon, Dr. Leonard Schlain.
Wow. Okay. I don't see it at my library, but I'm going to have to purchase this one.
It's a great one. Worth it. Mm-hmm. It's dense and beautiful and amazing.
I love it, dude. That's my homework.
Yes, do it.
Yeah, I need it.
I'll give you some more next week.
Yes.
This is Real Life Women discussing real life womanhood. This is feminine.